As I was saying, when I was growing up, about every 6 to 8 weeks, we'd have nothing but a worship set. We'd do it on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and we'd just get together and sing and praise God and give testimonies. And it just kind of reminded me of that. It was a blessing last week. If you were here, it was a wonderful time. This week, Tim is obviously gone. He's out of the country of Texas, out in a faraway land where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. No, I'm just kidding. He's out visiting family today, and so we're wishing him a good time, and our thoughts and prayers are with him as he travels. And so this morning I'm here, and we're going to continue our series in Joshua. We're teaching through the book of Joshua expositorily. That's a big old 85-cent word that just means that simply what we're doing is we're going straight through that book without skipping any parts. So often we as teachers and preachers, we tend to like to teach topically, which is good for us because it's easy. We talk about things that we like, talk about things that we know about. The problem is we tend to shy away things from things that we're not comfortable with or that we're a little shy about. And when you teach straight through a book, you don't get to skip any parts. You have to teach exactly what is there. And we are a Bible teaching church here this morning. So we're going to be teaching. We're going to be teaching out of Joshua 10. If you want to turn there in your Bibles or your phone apps, we'll be teaching in Joshua 10. But first, I want to ask you a question. Has it ever seemed like to you that the whole world seems to be against you, that whatever you're doing, it just seems like there's all this resistance and all these things that come up against you, even when you know that you're right where you're supposed to be in God's will, that somehow it just seems like the whole world is against you? And this stands to reason for the simple reason that the God of this world, who is Satan, is in charge of this world. And yeah, if you're where you're supposed to be, then yeah, the whole world probably is going to be against you at some point in time. Seems to be like, you know, if you're out there and you're trying to beat a habit or trying to get rid of an addiction, it just seems like that addiction is always in your face. If you're out there and you're trying to witness to somebody, it just seems like there's all these distractions that keep you from witnessing to people, that there's always somebody in the way or there's always something in the way of getting into that person that God has laid on your heart to talk to. Or maybe you're trying to get a deeper study life and get a deeper prayer life, and every time you sit down to study in the Bible, there seems to be all these distractions and things like that. And what you really need is just a little bit of deliverance. You need just a little small miracle. You just need to feel God's hand in your life at that moment in time. Maybe you're working on your marriage or you're working on your finances and you just need to feel God's presence. And we just need to feel God's miracle in that moment. In Joshua 10 this morning, the Israelites find themselves in a position where they need a miracle. They found themselves in a position of their own making, by the way. It wasn't like they were innocent in this. They had a situation that was of their own making. And they find themselves having to fight this battle against five nations that have come against them. It seems like the whole world has come against the nation of Israel. And they need a little bit of deliverance. And so we want to take a look at that this morning and see how the miracles that Joshua expects in his life, how we can expect those same kind of miracles in our life. Now understand this, that miracles, by their very nature, are rare and they're miraculous. They're of God. But God doesn't perform miracles for any particular reason at all. He doesn't just come out. God is not some big kind of genie that we rub the lamp and we just get a miracle out of him if we say the right words and we have the right. No, God performs miracles for specific purposes. This morning I'd like to talk about at least three of those, three reasons why God does miracles. Number one, God does miracles because he wants to display his power. We find that all throughout the Bible that when God wants to make an impression on the people around him, he does miracles that show how powerful he is. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, obviously, there were several miracles that were performed in that particular regard. They had the 10 or 12 plagues, and then we had the parting of the Red Sea. And when they got to the Promised Land, the people of the Promised Land already knew that God served these people, that God was with these people, and they were powerful. And then when they came into the land, Joshua took immediately Jericho, and we saw the walls fall down there, and then it went on to Ai, and there was a miraculous defeat there. And so the people of the land, the people that were there, saw that Israel had a powerful God. They had a powerful God. And so they had developed a reputation that went on beyond them. God had developed a reputation. Now understand this, that God is always going to be glorified in these situations. It's not the Israelites that get glorified. It's the God of the Israelites that get glorified. Follow what I'm saying? Second reason that God performs miracles is to further His plans. Obviously, in the case of the Israelites, He wants to bring the Israelites into the land of Israel, into the land of Judah, and He wants to make them a beacon to the rest of the nations of God's love and God's supremacy in this world. And He wants to take Israel and make them an example. I'm also reminded of the story of Athanasius. Gesundheit, right? Athanasius was a theologian in the 4th century. And Athanasius had this crazy idea that nobody agreed with at the time, that we had a Trinity that we served, that we had a triune God, that the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost were all one being and they were all equal. They were all one person in three representations. And the people of the time weren't actually into that. They actually thought that Jesus was a created being, and Athanasius had read the Scripture, and he knew he was on solid ground, and he stood his ground. Ended up getting himself exiled 5 times. Ended up being accused of some awful things like murder and sorcery and witchcraft. He got accused of heresy. He even got accused of tax evasion, of all things. So not only was the religious world coming against him, but even the secular world was coming against him. And Athanasius knew he was standing on solid ground, and he stood there. In fact, one of his apprentices came to him one day and says, "Athanasius, the whole world is against you." And Athanasius, knowing he was standing on solid ground, says, "Well, if the whole world is against Athanasius, then Athanasius is against the whole world." I wished I'd have said that. Isn't that cool? I hope I am. If I'm ever in that situation where the whole world comes against me, I can just say, I know where I'm standing, and I don't care if the world's against me, I'll stand firm. Third reason that God does His miracles, performs miracles, is simply because He loves us. You ever been in a situation where you just feel blessed for no apparent reason at all, and you know it's the hand of God that's sitting in there and just helping you through in a situation that you didn't think you were going to be able to get through? Maybe He helps you pass a test, or maybe helps you in that situation at work, or maybe He just blesses you in some way that you weren't expecting, that all of a sudden there's this warm feeling that comes over you, and you just know that it's God's hand moving in your life. God loves us, and I think that in partly what we're going to read today is exactly what God's doing in the hand of Israel. See, you got to understand that in this particular case, Israel wasn't supposed to be where they are or where they're at right now. They've made a deal with a king in the land, and they weren't supposed to make any deals. You see, when God told them to go in and take the promised land, He told them to go in and take the promised land. He didn't tell them to make deals or treaties or any kind of arrangements with any of the people. And here Joshua found himself in a situation. Now, don't get me wrong, we read last week that Joshua was lied to, and he wasn't aware of the whole situation. Nevertheless, he's entered into an agreement which was not ordained by God. And so he finds himself in this situation where he's got to go to the defense of this king, and he wasn't supposed to be there at all. Yet here God, because He loves the Israelites, is going to come in there, and He's going to do something miraculous in their little world. We got a light that's blinking. Take that off there. I understand this, that in this story today, I think there's some things that we can look at when we're looking for a miracle in our lives. I know that there has to be some people out there this morning that really could use to stand to see God's hand in their lives, maybe in their marriages, or maybe in their jobs, or maybe they need a miracle in their finances because there's just no other way they're going to make it through without it. And I think there's some things about this story today that we can look at that might put us in a better position to be in a position to receive God's miracles. Now, we're not going to teach some kind of name it and claim it theology here, all right? We'll leave that to the Joel Osteens of the world. What I'm talking about here is was when we're in a position where we're in God's favor, we should be able to expect certain things out of God. And I think that we need to look at that this morning as we look through the story of Joshua. You can turn with me in your Bibles or in your Bible apps to Joshua 10, in the first verse. And understand this, that these names are a little bit of a tongue twister, so bear with me as I work through them. But we find in the first verse, it starts out this way. Now, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it. Totally. Doing to Ai and his king what it had done to Jericho and his king. And that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. He and his people were very alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city. Like one of the royal cities, it was larger than Ai, and its men were good fighters. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to the king to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Joppa, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon. Come up and help me attack Gibeon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, joined forces, and they moved up with all of their troops and took up their positions against Gibeon and attacked it. The Gibeonites sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up quickly and help and save us. Help us because the Amorite king from the hill country have joined forces against us." So Joshua marched up from Gilgal and his entire army, including all of his best fighting men. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." When we're looking for a miracle in our lives, when we're looking for something that we can expect out of God or that we want from God, I think one of the first things we need to do is we need to stand on God's promises. You want to do an interesting study sometime in your Bible, just take over to the side of your Bible when you're doing your morning study and just write down the things that God says He's going to do for you. It's impressive. We look at the promises of God, and I think sometimes we don't believe that they're for this day or somehow they just don't apply to us or whatever it is. But when God makes a promise, this is one thing that we can understand about the promises of God. If He says He's going to do it, He's going to do it. In this particular case, Joshua knew that he was going to be victorious in this particular battle. God had told him so, and he went up there, and he was victorious. He walked straight in there with confidence. When we're looking for a miracle in our lives, I think we need to start standing on God's promises. If we're sitting there with a habit or an addiction we're trying to get through, understand this, that God has promised us that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Indeed. He says in his Bible, in the New Testament, he says several times that he says that we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're free through the blood of Christ Jesus, and that we no longer have to be slaves to sin, but we've had victory over the presence of sin in our lives. He's promised that. That's a promise we can stand on. And so when we pray to God, we say, "Hey, God, you told me that this was going to be true, and I'm going to hold you to your word because your word is true, and you never let us down. You never forsake us." I know for my own sake, it was about 28 years ago, I was facing an addiction of my own. I was an alcoholic, and I was in pretty bad shape, and I stood on the promises of God, and thank God to this day, I'm sober for 28 years, never had a drink or drug since. Yeah. Amen. I know that His promises are true, and the reason I know is because He says that they're true. If you're looking for a miracle in your marriage, looking for a miracle in your relationships, understand this, that God wants and ordains relationships. He told us that we are one body in Christ, that we're all one people, and that all of the parts of the body fit together. That means all of our relationships are supposed to be ordained by God if we're believers and we're working with our brothers and sisters. Some relationships, obviously, we're going to have to let go of, but there's other relationships we know we can stand on. We know that we are the living stones in God's temple. That means we're all one body in the church. Looking for a miracle in your marriage, understand this, that God ordained marriage from the very first day. He says, even for this reason, a man shall leave his, his mother and his father, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. He who God sets together, he does not want them broken apart. If you're looking for a miracle in your marriage, I guarantee you there's a promise right there for it, that if you put God first, he will bless your marriage. You're looking for a blessing in your finances, I can testify to this one straight up. God promises us that if we are faithful with what he's given to us and we give a portion of it back, I happen to tithe 10%. I didn't always tithe 10%. I only started about 15, 20 years ago. I started out small at $50 or $100 here, and before I knew it, I was so blessed with what I was doing in a small level, I've taken it up, and I even give more than that on occasions. Understand this, that since I have started tithing, I don't worry about money anymore. That's God's problem because I put it in his hands. He told us that if we are faithful with what he has given us and we give back to him, that see that I will not, he promises this, see if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessings on you that you cannot gather up. That's a promise that he made if we're faithful with our finances. Understand this, that if we're faithful in our finances, he will bless us because he has promised that he will do. If we're looking to be more involved in God's church and go out and carry the gospel, understand this, that God has not only promised us that he will help us spread the gospel, so he has told us to go out and spread the gospel. He told us to go into all of the nations and spread the good news and make disciples of the people that we find there. Understand this, that if you want to go on a mission trip, God will be faithful to do that. Understand this, that it's not always easy. Sometimes the whole world will come against you if you want to go on missions. I'm reminded of my friend Ed this morning. It was a couple of weeks ago. He was going to go to Alaska. And he had gotten the finances together, and he'd gotten his time off. And all of a sudden, his boss came to him and told him that he wasn't going to be allowed to go, that he was going to cancel his vacation. Fortunately for us, Ed put his foot down and said, no, I'm going to go ahead and go. And God blessed that and allowed that mission trip to happen, in spite of the fact that things were conspiring against him. Believe me, if you're going to go out there and do God's work, he will bless it. Amen. Amen. Second point I'd like to look at this morning that is, if we're looking for God's miracles, is that God blesses effort. Understand this, that God wants to partner with us and he expects us to be moving. We read on in the text, starting at verse 9. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into a confusion. Boy, I tell you what, if God throws you into confusion, it's got to be a deep confusion, huh? Lord threw them into a confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Medekah. They fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, and the Lord hurled large hailstones down upon them, and more of them died from the hail then were killed by the swords of the Israelites. God made a promise to Joshua when he was headed up there that he was going to be victorious. Notice that Joshua didn't stop, make camp, and wait for God to deliver the Ammonites into his hands. He didn't expect God to just go out there and kill them. God wants to partner with us. He wants us to be part of the miracles that he's performing. So Joshua didn't stop. He went on up there, and obviously he was victorious, right? God expects the same thing out of us. If we're looking for God to do a miracle in our lives, understand this, that God cannot steer a parked car. You're probably going to have to put some effort in. When it talks about acting on faith in the Bible, it talks about to go ahead and start moving in the direction that you expect God to be blessing for. That's what is the evidence of things unseen. When we start to do things, we expect that God's going to bless our efforts, and so we move forward on them. God blesses effort. I was in an addiction for a number of years. Understand this, that when I asked God to deliver me from this addiction, I didn't keep going to bars. I don't think that would have been a good idea. I had to let go of some relationships. I had to do some things in my life. I had to change some of the habits that I had in my life. Now God took the searing desire for alcohol out of my heart. But I had to do some things too. I had to get out of the bars. I had to make new relationships. I had to form God-honoring habits where I used to have God-displeasing habits before. Looking for a miracle in your relationships? If you're looking for a miracle in your marriage, understand this, that God wants to bless your marriages, but He's also going to expect that you put Him in the front. You want to do something very strong for your marriage? Start praying with your wife or start praying with your husband. There is nothing more intimate than getting together and putting God first in your marriage and doing Bible studies and prayers. I've been doing that with my wife for a number of years. It's blessed us in ways that I couldn't even possibly imagine. We're closer than we've ever been. We faced a situation where we were going to be empty nesters, and the fact of the matter is we needed to get to know each other again. So we started doing this Bible study. God has blessed that like you would never imagine. If you want to do something in your marriage, put God first in it. I guarantee He will bless that. But understand this, it's going to require you to get out of your comfort zone and do some things that you haven't done before. You're looking for God to find you a proper mate, a proper spouse. Understand this, guys. If you're sitting on mom and dad's couch playing video games, I don't think a woman is going to walk in and find you. You're probably going to have to get up, take a shower, go outside, put on a clean shirt, and find a woman. Understand this, please do not go out to the bars. It's not a good place to look for a mate. You might want to go to church, ice cream socials, things like that. Places where women that you want to meet are going to be. Girls, understand this. You're probably going to have to go outside too. I don't think God's going to deliver your husband into your home. So understand this. You're going to have to get moving. You're looking for some blessings in your finances. Understand this, that God wants to put your finances in good place. He promises us this in His Word. He understand He has told us numerous times that He wants to bless our finances. I know He has in my life. But understand this, I had to change some of the habits I was doing. I had to start spending my money in places that were God-honoring. I didn't see that I was going to get anywhere by going out to bars or going out and playing the lotto every day or whatever it might be that I was putting my money in. I was going to have to change the way I spent money. I was going to have to be a little more responsible with it. God blesses that. Understand this, that God knows exactly what you need. He says that in His Word. He says it this way. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't store up stuff. They don't build storehouses and store up their food. Yet God blesses them, and aren't you more important than a sparrow? He says, look at the flowers of the field. Look how finely adorned they are. Even Solomon, with all of his riches, aren't as finely dressed as the flowers of the field. Understand that that your Father knows what you need. So if you honor Him first, if you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, that all of these other things will be added unto you. So instead of spending our money in places that we shouldn't be spending, we start spending our money in places that God will honor, and He will honor that. Understand this. If you're going to go out and you're going to carry on the Great Commission, if you're going to go out and you're going to go out and spread God's Word like He's asked you to do, He will bless that. He will bless that in ways that you've never seen before. I can't speak to other people, but I understand this, that what He's done in my life is remarkable. Some 12 or 14 years ago, we decided that God was telling us that we needed to get out of Denver. I think He's telling everybody to get out of Denver, but maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, He was certainly telling us that we needed to get out of Denver and that He wanted us to go to Texas specifically. He told us where we were supposed to go and that He had something that He was going to do for us. We just had this overwhelming sense, both Becky and myself, that He was going to do something in our lives when we got there. And so we came down here to Texas and the first 3 years was nothing. Understand this, that when we were getting out of Denver, we owed $10,000 in debt. And so we prayed out to God. We said, look, we're going to have to do something differently here. We're going to need a miracle here in order to pay off this debt. So we're even able to make this move. Guess what? I didn't sit on my took us. I got up. I got a second job, and I went to work. In 1 year's time, not only did I pay down $10,000 worth of debt, I also made another $10,000. So God was honoring what I asked Him. I asked Him for 10, He gave me 20. Got me down here. I'm down here in Texas. Understand this, that in this church, it took me some 3 years to find it. But once I did find it, understand this, that I have not only come up here this morning for you, but I've also been on the worship team as a worship leader. I've also been in the youth ministry as a youth minister. Understand this, that I'm standing here before you preaching, but I did not sit on my butt. I got in God's Word, and I looked at what God was trying to tell me. God said He was going to do something in my life, and so what's the first thing I need to do? I need to look at what His Word says to me. I need to get in His Word, and we did that. Understand this, that here's a guy that 10 years ago you probably wouldn't even have had a relationship with now, and I'm standing here on the stage telling you what I have learned. Amen. You think God doesn't honor you if you want to go do this work? I'm a living testimony. Amen. Amen. Last thing that God does or expects out of us is He expects us to pray like we expect answers. We read on in the text this morning, picking it up in, where was I? 12, thank you. We pick it up in verse 12. On the day that the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of all of Israel. In other words, in front of God and everybody, he said these words. Sun, stand still over Gibeon. And you, moon, over the valley of Elah. I told you these words are hard. Ajalon. And so the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Jeshar, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord God Almighty listened to a human being. I'm reminded of the story in Proverbs where who are we that God would listen to us? Lord, listen to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Notice God was the one that was glorified. Then Joshua returned with all of Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Joshua cried out in confidence, in boldness, God, I need something from you right now. He was in a bind. He needed a little more time, and he knew that God could provide it. So he cried out in confidence. I think so often, when we pray, we don't pray like we expect God to answer. God's always going to answer. Sometimes it's not the answer we want. I mean, if we're looking for that relationship that God's not doesn't deem honorable, He's not going to bless us in that relationship. Or if we're looking to be rich just for the purpose of being rich, I don't think that God's going to honor that. But understand this, that when we pray to God, I think that sometimes we just pray in such a way that we just, like, God, if you think you might, just consider for just a minute that maybe, possibly, God doesn't expect us to pray like that. Bible tells us, Paul tells us that we are sons and daughters of God and that we can come before the throne with boldness, like a child comes up to mom and dad and asks for something. Do your children shy at 3 years old when they want something? No, they come up and grab a hold of your leg. And that's the way that God expects us to come to Him. It's one of our tenets in the men's fraternity that if we're doing what we're supposed to do, if we're where we're supposed to be in God's graces, that we can expect God's blessings. We can. We're crying out loud, we're His children and He loves us. And so we can come before Him boldly and ask for the things that we want from Him. He understands what we want before we ever ask it, but He expects us to come and ask Him. It's part of the relationship. I think that in this particular time, we need some bold prayers and some dangerous prayers. Things like, God, I want You to bless me in my marriage, or I want You to bless me in my finances, or God, I would like some boldness to go out there and spread the gospel. I guarantee you He'll honor those things because God wants to see us do well. He does. Think that as we move on in our lives and we pursue our lives that we can expect these things out of God and I think that as children of God, that we can expect these things. I think that that we need to be there. And Father, and this morning, I think as children of God that we not only can we expect these things, that we can be blessed in them, we can be happy, and we can have joy this morning. Understand this, that if you're not a child of God and you want to sign up for this, that I'm all down with that because there's not a better way to live. Take it from a person who's trusted God for the last few years and has stood on His promises that there isn't a happier way of life out there. When I was trying to achieve these things on my own, all I ended up was falling short. But when I put my trust in God, all of these things are added unto me in such a way that I couldn't even possibly imagine what kind of life I have this morning. And I want everybody out there this morning to be empowered to do those things, those same things. And as we look to the things that we want God's blessings in, I think that we can expect those as long as we're doing the things that that honor God. I know that for my life I can. And I ask you this morning, if you're not a child of God and you want some of these blessings, I ask you to consider just for a minute, the way that that you're being blessed in your own life right now. Chasing the things of the world and chasing the things that that stacked against you. Understand this, when the whole world comes against me, I don't have to worry about it because I know that the guy that I have in my corner, the guy that I have standing behind me, created this universe. He created everything and everything in it, and He loves me. And so when the whole world comes against me like Athanasius, I just stand back and I said, it's me and God. You can't stand against me. My enemies can't stand against me. If God is for me, who can be against me? Nobody. And if you want some of that this morning, I'm going to ask you to consider turning your life over and doing it the way God does. It isn't complicated. It's easy. It's not necessarily, well, actually, it's not as easy as you might think. It's very simple to do. Once you do it, you're just going to have to give up everything. But it just starts out something like this. As we pray this morning, we're just going to say a quick prayer, and it just goes something simply like this. Father, I know that in this life I've made mistakes. I've lived in a way that is not pleasing to You. I know that there are consequences for the things that I do, and Father, I know that You've promised that You'll take those consequences away. You promise in Your Word that whoever leans on You will never have to fear again, that everything is taken care of for him. And Father, I've been trying to do it my way, and it just doesn't work. And so, God, I want to do it Your way. So this morning, I pray out to Your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, come into my heart and take over. I surrender to You everything that I am, and I surrender everything that I have. It all belongs to You anyway, Jesus, and I just want You to come into my heart and live there. I want You to take charge, and I never want to look back at the things that I've done. Take away all my sin and my debt, and I lay it at Your feet. And I ask this in Your precious Son's name. Now, believer, I want to pray for us. As we go out into this world, I pray for my fellow friends out here this morning that we can stand confidently in the promises that You've made, that You've promised that as Your children, You're going to bless us in ways that we couldn't even possibly imagine. And Father, I want You to impart that to my friends this morning, that we stand boldly on the promises that You've given us. Father, I'm going to ask that You give us the courage and the power to stand strong in the face of the world that comes against us, that we know that in Your promises, we know that we can move forward with confidence because You have our back, God. You're going to be there wherever we are to bless the things that we do and bless the things that we say. Father, we know that You're there with us, and we know that You're going to be with us even as we move forward. And Father, I ask this prayer with boldness and with confidence. I come before You this morning. I come before You knowing that You are out there to bless Your children. You're out there to bless the children that You've given us. And so, Father, I'm going to ask You to be in our lives and to be strong and present in our lives. And finally, this morning, Father, as we sit here and we consider where we're at this morning, that we're safe and sound this morning, I'm going to ask You just especially this morning to be with the people in El Paso this morning as they wake up this morning and they're in suffering this morning. We're asking, Father, that You be with those people and that You put some of us children in their lives that we may be a blessing to them. Father, we ask that same thing here in our own backyard, that as we go out into this world, that we are your hands and your feet, Father. I'm going to ask you to empower us and to put us in situations where we can be a blessing to the world. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.